of wandering in the wilderness, God's people were about to enter the promised land. As they stood on the banks of the Jordan, the water stopped so they could cross on dry ground. Taking stones from the river bottom to symbolize each of the tribes of Israel, they built an altar where they worshiped the one true God. They said, "In the future, when our children ask what these stones mean, we'll tell them."
wonder that crowds come to see him. Yes, healer who meets all our needs. The lame end up running, the deaf end up hearing, and blind men can suddenly see. He stops for the poorest among us,
reaches out to the worst in our land,
and he says to repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And he comes in the name of the Lord. All he does in the name of the Lord. He teaches like no one before, and we know that we want to know more of this one who comes in the name of the Lord. No wonder the high and the mighty don't like what they're hearing of him. The words of a teacher, the heart of a servant, and power that mystifies them. He orders the demons and nature.
Even death is no match for his touch.
Everything that he does shows us his mercy and love. And he comes in the name of the Lord. All he does in the name of the Lord. He teaches like no one before, and we know that we want to know more of this one who comes in the name.
His early life turned, and Jesus set his sights on Jerusalem. He knew the death that waited for him there, yet nothing changed about the way he lived. His heart still ached for every limping young man, every blind beggar, every heartbroken mourner, every lonely outcast. He just kept doing what he had always done.
Remember, it's all about love.
He was arrested, beaten, condemned, and crucified. He was despised and rejected by those who should have been worshiping at his feet. So an ancient prophecy was fulfilled. Jesus, the stone the builders rejected, became the cornerstone of God's work of forgiveness and grace when he gave his life.
Bye.
The one they had called Master and Lord was dead. A few grief-stricken followers begged for permission to take his body from the cross. As they rolled the stone over the entrance of the tomb, it must have seemed as if they were burying all their hopes along with their dearest friend.
Go into all the world
The words of Jesus echoed across the hills just outside of Bethany. Preach the gospel. Baptize believers in my name. Teach them my commandments. As his followers have obeyed his words, one by one we have become like living stones, building his kingdom until he returns.
What they want to see, you will see the things that never die. You will know and recognize by simple childlike faith the priceless truth that others will deny. When others say, I'm just a man who liked to dream his dreams, when others call a miracle a myth, you'll listen for eternity in moments as they pass and see with spirit eyes what others miss. Upon this rock I'll build my kingdom. Upon this rock forever and ever it shall stand. And all the powers of hell itself shall never more prevail against it. For Satan's thrones are built on sinking sand. Upon this rock I'll build my kingdom. And on this rock forever and ever it shall stand. Upon this rock of revelation I'll build a strong and mighty nation. And it shall stand the storms of time upon this rock. If in a simple carpenter you see the Son of God, if you will choose to lose when you could win, if you will give your life away for nothing in return, then you are where my kingdom will begin. Upon this rock I'll build my kingdom. Upon this rock forever and ever it shall stand. And all the powers of hell itself shall never more prevail against it. For Satan's thrones are built on sinking sand. Upon this rock I'll build my kingdom. And on this rock forever and ever it shall stand. Upon this rock of revelation I'll build a strong and mighty nation. And it shall stand the storms of time upon this rock. I'll build my church upon this rock. Upon this rock.
Rock of ages, so secure for all time. microphone on here, and what a truth that is. Jesus, the cornerstone. Matthew 21, 42 says this, "The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner." That is the cornerstone. You know, that phrase, "Jesus is the cornerstone," or "become the head of the corner," is repeated no less than 9 times in Scripture. Now, that's a lot. Two times in the Old Testament, prophesying of Jesus, 3 times in the Gospels, once in the book of Acts, 3 times in the epistles, and it's alluded to 6 other times. Hey, there's no question if God mentions it that much, that's a truth that we need to get a hold of. So what is a cornerstone? Now, I don't know about modern building practices, all right? I am no architect or son of an architect or contractor. You ask any man around here, I know about nothing, okay? I like to watch and say, good job, that looks good, all right? But I understand, at least in ancient building practices, and some even in the most recent times, the cornerstone was the principal stone placed at the corner of a structure. It was the largest, it was the most solid, it was most carefully constructed of all stones. In fact, today I was reading what one man said. He was on vacation, and he went up to Vermont, and they visited the Bennington Battle Monument. I have no idea where that is, but evidently it commemorates a battle in the Revolutionary War. But there's a monument. It stands about half the size of the Washington Monument, 306 feet. But one thing this man noticed was that the cornerstone, listen to this, was 7 feet long, it was 2 feet thick, and they said it weighed 5 tons. All right. Likewise, when they built the temple, Solomon's temple, in fact, you can even still see the Wailing Wall there in Jerusalem, those stones are massive, and especially the cornerstone was the biggest, and it was the largest. Not only that, the cornerstone was the standard upon which all the building was constructed. All right, the rest of the building would conform to the angles and the size of that cornerstone. In fact, one person said in construction, if you just went 1 degree off from that cornerstone, say that cornerstone was at 14 degrees and you went 13, or maybe the opposite way, 13, you went 14, well, it wouldn't look much right there, but in the distance, it'd be way off. So everything was patterned around there. What's the truth the Bible's trying to say? Like that cornerstone of a building, Christ is the one which we must base and order our lives. He's the cornerstone. Secondly, I want you to see this, and this is how it applies to Easter. It says one little word there in that passage, Matthew 21, 42. It says he became the cornerstone. You mean he wasn't all along? Well, no, listen to the verse carefully. And as the choir sang, it says, "The stone which the builders rejected." Now, we've been spending the last 2 weeks talking about Jesus' rejection. He was rejected by his own. He's rejected by the Jewish leaders. He eventually was rejected by the Jewish populace. He was forsaken by his own disciples, betrayed by one of his own apostles. He was rejected, but that stone that the leadership, the Jewish leadership, the rabbis, their, we would say pastors today, their teachers, their church leaders said, "We reject this one." That's the one that became the head of the corner and the cornerstone. There's a legend, and it's a legend. I'm not saying it's truth, but that illustrates this. When they were building Solomon's temple, masons pulled up from the quarry a massive stone different from all the rest. They discarded it and said they had no use for it. They dumped it in the Valley of Kidron. But later, when it came time to place the cornerstone, and they asked, "Where's the cornerstone?" Well, the workers were told it was already brought up. And they brought it up out of that Valley of Kidron, the same one that they discarded, and they brought it up, and it fit perfectly right in that temple. The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. He was rejected in his crucifixion. Ultimate rejection by men. Even God the Father forsook him, he said. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that is, God turned his back in fellowship on the Son as he hung on the cross. Why did he hang on the cross? For the sins of the world, for your sins, for my sins. Not your neighbors. It was for your neighbors, but it's personal. It's for you. And he suffered eternal spiritual death for you on that cross, and God couldn't look on all that sin. But when he arose 3 days later, he became the cornerstone. I think it would be fitting for Easter Sunday morning. Let me just read the account. If you'd like to turn there with me, you can. In Matthew 28, 1 through 16, when Jesus became that cornerstone. It says in Matthew 28, and we'll read verses 1 through 6. It says this. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as that began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. And here's the most marvelous words in all the world. He is not here, for he is what? Say it with me.
Risen.
As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay.
Amen.
He is risen, as he said. And Christ Jesus was risen. As the early church said, he is risen. And they would respond, he is risen indeed. So not only was Jesus to become the cornerstone at his resurrection, but he became a sure cornerstone. And I'm going to read a verse out of Isaiah. Because this was another time that the word cornerstone is used in Scripture. And it's used 9 different times, and we won't turn to all those. But here's another prophecy about Jesus, Isaiah 28:16. If you don't have a Bible, just listen. It says, Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Can I say, not only is Jesus the cornerstone, he became the cornerstone, but he is a sure cornerstone. All right, that is, he's the only sure foundation we can ever have. You know, all others are shaky. They're shaky at best. I was reading a story about a man that lived in a farmhouse, and certainly we could identify this around this area. I lived in a farmhouse for 5 years. And he said after living there a little while, he noticed a few little things wrong with it. And he says those little things became big things. And the further he examined, he realized that the house was not structured square. Some of you can identify this. I guess when they built farmhouses back in the 1800s, they just put them up as quickly as they could and didn't really worry as much as we do today about everything being square and plumb and everything else. And he ended up having to replace the whole flooring and plumbing to get that house back where it needs to be. But can I tell you, that's like a lot of lives. Can I ask you a question? What's your foundation? Is it on Christ, the sure foundation? Is he your cornerstone in your life? Some people base their foundation on their financial status. Oh, you know, I've got stocks and I've got bonds. I've got wealth stored away. I've got valuables in my home. Can I ask you, is that a very sure foundation? What happens if that stock market crashes? Who's your foundation then? What happens if someone comes in and breaks into your house and removes all your valuables? Your foundation is totally wiped out from you. Hey, the financial status is not a sure foundation. Some people rely on their family. They say, my family's a sure foundation. How many times have you heard people say, well, my mom is a rock, or my dad, or grandma, or grandpa. In other words, whenever there's a family crisis or family situation, boy, we go back to my mom, or I go back to my grandma or grandpa or grandma, and boy, they're the rock of the family. Can I say something to you? They won't last. They're going to pass away. And what then? And listen, I've seen families that rely on one person for their spiritual guidance, which isn't bad. But if that's all you're relying on, when that person passes away, they have nothing. And the family crumbles and falls apart. Listen, your financial status is not a sure foundation. Your family's not a sure foundation. Some people rely on philosophy. You ever hear somebody say, well, this is my motto, and they quote it. That's not bad if you're a Christian, all right? But don't rely on your whole foundation on that. But some people will say, this is what I always say. And it's like, that's the foundation of their life. Can I tell you, that'll crumble as well. Listen, financial status is not going to be a sure foundation. Family's not going to be a sure foundation. Philosophy's not going to be a sure foundation. Can I even say this? Religion's not a sure foundation. You say, hey, I'm religious, Pastor. I go to church every Sunday, or I attend Mass, or I say my prayers. I memorize my prayers and I say them. I go to the priest. My priest is my sure foundation. Listen, can I tell you? They're just men. If you're basing your foundation on me, you're in trouble. Okay? Wife and kids, don't say amen too loudly, please. Okay. But we're just men. Amen? Lynn Johnston, as much as I love him, he's not your foundation. Billy Graham is not your foundation. Can I tell you? The best foundation, the only foundation you could have is Jesus Christ. And you better base your life on him. You say, well, how do I do that? Just start attending church more? Well, I'm glad you asked. You're in Isaiah chapter 28. Look what it says. Keep reading. He says, he laid a sure foundation. He's the solid rock on which we can trust and build our lives on. But look at this. He that, what's the next word? What's the next word? Believeth. Believeth. All right, your only hope for the foundation for this life and for the life to come in eternity is you believe and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone. And he'll come in. He'll become the cornerstone of your life and grant you eternal life. Jesus said, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. Hey, Jesus is not your cornerstone if you don't believe on him. And would you today trust him as your Savior? If you're here today and you have not never trusted Christ, you've never bowed your head and called upon the Lord Jesus to save you, then can I encourage you to do that today? If you know that you have been, but you strayed away from the Lord, can I tell you to renew your dedication today? Say, Lord Jesus, I want to renew my dedication in the risen Savior who became the sure foundation. I want him to be the sure foundation, the cornerstone of my life, of my family. Parents, if you're trying to build your foundation or cornerstone on anything else, it'll fail. Base it on the foundation of Jesus Christ and his word. It'll never fail. But look what it says. He that believeth on him shall not make haste. Now, what's that mean? Well, the word haste there means hurry. We still live such in a hurried society, don't we? Going from here, going from there, full of anxiety. But if you look back to verse 12 in the same chapter, wonderful promise. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. It says, if you believe on him, he'll give you rest. Because why? Even though everything might crumble around you, you might be here today, feel like your life is crumbling apart. If it's based on the sure foundation, the cornerstone of Jesus Christ and his word, then you can rest upon that. And say, Lord, even though everything's crumbling and falling apart, I know you, and I know you're in control, both here and for eternity. Romans 9:33 quotes the same verse, and he says, whoso believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That you'll not be put to shame. You'll have victory. Oh, thank God for Jesus Christ, his resurrection, and him becoming the cornerstone on which our whole lives can be based and giving us victory and hope for eternity. Can I say, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, if you don't know the risen Lord, the Bible simply says it's just of faith, it's not of works. It says, the Bible says, for whosoever believeth on him shall have eternal life. It's belief. It's not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy he saved us. It's not by doing good deeds. It's not by piling all your good deeds up to heaven and saying, this is what's going to get me there. No. It's just simply faith and calling on him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I trust that you've done that. And Christian, if your life is in ruins, can you renew that today and say, Lord, it's time for me to start making you the cornerstone of my life again. Start coming back to church. Start reading the Word of God. Start reading the Word of God with your family. Start praying together. Listen, he is your hope. You say, my life isn't in ruins. Well, someone said either your life isn't in ruins right now, but it will be one day. Build your faith before the walls start crumbling. Amen. And make Christ your foundation. Would everybody bow their head and close their eyes, please? I know we have a number of people here today that are own people, and then there's some visitors. But in the midst of all this crowd, I realize there might be some here that have never truly placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. I want to give you an opportunity to right now, not point you out, I'll not embarrass you, but I just simply want to pray for you. So if you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure I've ever been saved, but I'd like to be, would you just raise your hand? Just put it right up, right down. Not sure? You could be 6 years old. You could be 60 or 70, 80. Would you just raise your hand quickly? I'll look around just a second. You say, hey, something's tugging at my heart. I don't think I've ever done that. I don't think I've ever trusted Jesus to be my cornerstone, to be my Savior. Anyone at all? Christian, what about you? You say, pray for me. I've strayed, and I need to get back. I need to get back where I'm supposed to be. Jesus became the cornerstone, but he's not the cornerstone of my life, if I'm honest with him. Pastor, would you just pray for me that I'll get back where I need to be? Would you raise your hand? Anyone at all? Let's pray together. Father, we do pray, Lord, that you'd help us to realize in a new and afresh this Easter Sunday the truth of being of Christ becoming the cornerstone. Lord, so many people in this world base their lives on so many other things. Lord, and Jesus Christ, if he's even accepted at all, becomes crowded out and shoved into the back corner. And Lord, certainly not our top priority and certainly not what we base our entire life on. Lord, it's not on philosophy, religion, family, finances. It needs to be on Jesus Christ. Help each and every one of us to renew that this Easter Sunday morning. Renew our love, renew our dedication, renew our praise to you. We pray in Jesus' name. And this, we're going to keep your head bowed and eyes closed just for a minute, if you would, please, before we say amen and complete this prayer. We're going to have a time of invitation. And what we'll do here, for those of you that are visiting, we're going to stand to our feet in just a minute. And if you will, please have just quiet, bowed head, closed eyes, contemplation and prayer. But I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today and not saved, while no one's looking, would you just slip out? We love you here, and we'd just love to take a minute that we can share with you one-on-one how you know you can have Christ as your Savior and him be the anchor and rock of your life. And so would we stand together? Everyone stand, please. Just stand to your feet. The instruments are going to start playing. I'll be right down front. Give you just a minute to respond as the instruments play.